you listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel.
Good morning. Today we're studying 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For the past weeks, we've been discussing godly wisdom in the believer. Paul is fine-tuning that discussion in chapter 3 by pointing out some particular traits that hinders the believer from making wise choices in the body of Christ. In chapters 1 and 2, Paul lets us know that this Corinthian church is a worldly church and that they are filled with pride and that they are immature. In this chapter today, Paul is going to use symbolism to make several points concerning wisdom in working for the Lord. He is going to be talking about works today, our works in serving God, and what rewards that we can expect from the Lord for our service to Him. And he uses symbolism in describing the believer. He refers to believers as a husbandman or a farmer in verse 6 and 9. He says, I've planted, but Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. And in verse 9, he calls us a building. In verse 16, he calls the believer the temple of God. And in verses 10 to 15, he says we're not only the building, but he says we're also the builder of the house of God, which is constructed by our works in serving God. And Paul calls himself a wise master builder in verse 10. So he uses these symbols to relate to us what our work is in God's kingdom. Now I want to read you 1 Corinthians 3 in the New Living Translation. The heading here is Paul and Apollos, servants of Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to mature Christians. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in the Christian life. I had to feed you with milk and not with solid food because you couldn't handle anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your own sinful desires. You're jealous of one another and you quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove that you are controlled by your own desires? You are acting like people who don't belong to the Lord. And when one of you says, I'm a follower of Paul, and then another says, I prefer Apollos, well, aren't you acting like those who are not Christians? Who is Apollos, and who is Paul, that we should be the cause of such quarrels? Why, we're only servants, and through us, God has caused you to believe. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. My job was to plant the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it. But it was God, not we, who made it grow. The ones who do the planting or the watering aren't important, but God is important because He's the one who makes the seeds grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work as a team with the same purpose, yet they'll be rewarded individually according to their own hard work. But we work together as partners who belong to God, and you are in God's field, and you're God's building, not ours. And because of God's special favor to me, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever's building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any other foundation than the one we already have, which is Jesus Christ. Now anyone who builds on that foundation may use gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But there's going to come a time of testing at the judgment day to see what kind of work that each builder has done. Everyone's work will be put through the fire to see whether or not it keeps its value. If the work survives the fire, then that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builders themselves will be saved, but like someone escaping through a wall of flames. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will bring ruin upon anyone who ruins this temple, for God's temple is holy and you Christians are that temple. So stop fooling yourselves. If you think you're wise by this world's standards, you will have to become a fool so you can become wise by God's standards. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. As the scriptures say, God catches those who think they're wise in their own cleverness. And again he says, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they're worthless. So don't take pride in following a particular leader. Everything belongs to you, Paul and Apollos and Peter, and the whole world and life and death, the present and the future. Everything belongs to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Now, the emphasis that Paul is going to place here is that everything that you do in the work of God must be for the glory of God and on that foundation of Jesus Christ to give God glory. Paul refers to two types of believers in this chapter today, the carnal believer and the mature believer. The carnal believer is called a babe in Christ in the King James Version, who can only digest milk, which is more like an infant of under 6 months old, because an infant is considered anywhere between the age of birth and 2 years old. In the King James, it says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I had to feed you with milk and not with meat, because you weren't able to bear it. Even a baby can eat some solid food by the time they are 6 months old. But Paul is talking about a believer who's been saved longer than 6 months, but his digestive system hasn't matured past the pablum stage. He can't receive sound doctrine of the word because he is not growing spiritually. If a child was 6 or 7 years old and could only digest baby cereal, then we'd see a serious problem with their growth. There have been cases where children were neglected from birth and they were starved for years, and when they were found, they had lost over one half of their height and they had serious medical problems, and some even returned to the fetal position. Well, the same is true of a believer. Without normal spiritual growth during their spiritual lifetime, they cannot grow normally to be a mature, strong believer. Paul equates the mature believer as one who's strong in faith, hope, charity, and all the fruit of the Spirit. They're not soon shaken with adversities or problems of everyday life because they know how to kneel and pray and call on God. There's a story told about the oak tree and the reeds in a children's book by Kids Gen. The oak tree always thought he was far stronger than the reeds, and he said to himself, I stand upright in a storm. I don't bend my head in fear every time the wind blows like these reeds do. These reeds are so weak. They bend each time the wind blows. Well, that very night a storm blew in, and the mighty oak tree was uprooted. And when the reeds saw the uprooted tree, they sighed and said, well, it looks like our way is better because we bend, but we don't break. We pray and we seek God on our knees for strength to stand so that in our weakness we become strong. A mature believer is filled with humility and is not prideful, and they submit to authority and discipline. In verse 3, Paul calls them carnal. He said, because you have envy and strife, divisions, Are you not carnal and you walk as men? Now he's addressing a specific church congregation in this chapter, who's the Corinthians, and he's telling them that they're not making much progress in the Lord because they have their eyes on the wrong things. Let me read you Unger's Bible Dictionary's definition of carnal. It's having the nature of flesh, to be under the control of animal appetites, governed by mere human nature, not by the Spirit of God. It's the earthly nature of man apart from divine influence, and it's prone to sin, opposed to God, and it has works of the flesh. Galatians 5:19-21 tells us what the works of the flesh are. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. And Paul says, let me tell you again, as I've told you before, anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So to be carnal means to walk in fleshly or worldly things. Another word we use for carnal is a sinner. A carnal person is a sinner. So it's strange for Paul to use this word to describe the Corinthians. But he is referring to these Corinthians as believers, as saints, but they are carnal. So he is using two words here, carnal Christian. That sounds like a contradiction in terms, to be a carnal Christian. How can that be? Well, a carnal Christian is someone who has traits of the carnal nature. He's describing people who are rebellious and contentious, and they're not walking in obedience. He is speaking to the saints here. He's not speaking to sinners. You might ask, how can this be? These sound like sinners to me. A sinner is one who continually walks in sin. They cannot stop sinning because they don't have the power of God in their life to help them overcome sin. But he's speaking to the believer who's caught up in sinful desires and ways. It's not the types of sins that they were committing that the sinner commits on a continuing basis that he's speaking of. The carnal Christian is a weak believer who's caught up in doubt, whispering, arrogance, temper, weariness, complaining, and stubbornness. And Paul included envy, strife, and division to that list. These types of behavior are all spiritual hindrances, and they're weights that so easily beset us, and they impede our spiritual growth. The carnal Christian is guilty of these types of sins, but not the gross sins that keep us from the kingdom of God. They're called besetting sins in Scripture. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, it says in Hebrews 12:1-2. What caused Paul to call them carnal? They were quarreling over who their leader was. Some wanted to follow Paul and some wanted to follow Apollos. And the leaders were not in the argument, and they didn't try to pull these believers apart to set themselves up as a leader. These people did this among themselves because they were carnal, Paul says. Paul and Apollos was not arguing with one another. They were both trying to preach the gospel, and they were pointing the believers to Christ, not to themselves. But there was something that divided the congregation, and it was the carnality of the Christians at Corinth. Paul said, we didn't divide you. You divided yourself because you're carnal. As we serve the Lord, we're building a building, Paul tells us. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we have accepted the foundation of this building that we're building. That's what's meant by the foundation is Jesus Christ here in these scriptures. It's saying that the Christian has a foundation of Jesus, that each believer has the same foundation of Jesus Christ. Whatever we build upon that foundation will determine our reward. We are rewarded according to our works, but we cannot work for salvation. Salvation is a free gift from God. It's the foundation. But the building that we build upon that foundation is called our works. And that's why Jesus said in the parable about the workers who came to work in the man's vineyard. We're going to paraphrase here. Some came at 8 o'clock in the morning and were paid a dollar for the day's wages. And others came at quitting time and they were also paid a dollar for the day's wages. Well, some of the early workers went to the foreman of the job and they complained that they put in more hours for their dollar than the other workers who only worked for 1 hour. But the foreman said, "I've not cheated you. Didn't you agree to work for the day for $1? They said, "Yes, they did." But they had to work in the heat of the day, while these who came later in the day worked in the cool of the evening. Now, Jesus is talking about salvation here in this parable. He is saying that no matter when a believer receives the Lord, he is saved, whether it's at the beginning or at the end of the day. That has nothing to do with the works that we're talking about where you receive a reward. Paul is clearly telling us that the building that we build upon this foundation of our salvation will determine our reward. There will be rewards handed out to the believers that are apart from the reward of eternal life. And even though the believer can't work for salvation, they can work for reward. In verse 12, he says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." So the building materials that the believer uses in constructing God's house is spiritual materials and not fleshly things. That can only mean that the materials that God wants us to use is the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, peace, joy, hope, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, temperance, and kindness, and not the materials which are of a fleshly or a carnal nature. So we believe that the gold, silver, and precious stones is equated with the mature believer who is established and who's walking in the Spirit. But the buildings that are made with wood, hay, and stubble is equated with a carnal Christian who's caught up with all these earthly and fleshly desires and the weights and the besetting sins that hinder us in our work for God. It's hard to believe that in the day of judgment that there will be rewards given to each according to their building that they built. That they could even build a house of straw and make it to heaven. But according to this scripture, they can. So there's going to be some who are going to be ashamed in that day because their works are going to be burned up because they were not pointing believers to the Lord. Fire will test every man's work at the end of the day. Wood, hay, and stubble will all be consumed by fire. But they will still have the foundation of salvation, according to Paul in these verses. Gold, silver, and precious stones will withstand the flames and will abide. And we know that the scripture says love abides, and that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. A building built with these attributes will remain and will be a strong building that cannot be consumed. So when works abide the fire, then the rewards are given. Each building that is built is an individual building. We won't be able to share our work with someone else, and we won't be responsible for other people's building of how they built their building. Our works will make a difference in the day of judgment. I heard a story of a man who was wealthy, and he decided he would find someone to build a house for him that he planned to give away. And he found this builder, but the builder was dishonest. And he put the cheapest and most inferior materials that he could find into this building. The builder wasn't aware that the house that he was building would belong to him when he finished it. And of course, he was terribly disappointed when all he got was a shabby and poorly constructed house. So the builder gets what he puts into it. That's what Paul is trying to tell us. Whatever we build in our service to the Lord will be what will be ours when we stand before Him. So it's possible to lose our reward that we have built with the wrong materials, even though we built it upon a solid rock foundation of Jesus Christ. That doesn't seem possible, but that is what is happening. There are many ministers who have built empires off the name of Jesus Christ, and they never pointed to Jesus at all, and they reaped all the benefits of the service to the Lord upon themselves. Therefore, their works will be burned up, even though they possibly may be saved, if they have that foundation of Christ. So Paul is speaking of receiving rewards or suffering loss according to our works. Then in verse 16, he says, "Know you not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" God is faithful to His promises. He says that if we believe in Him and we turn our life over to Him, He will save us in spite of all of our weaknesses and in all of our failures. He will lift us up and He will keep us. But He's expecting something from us. He's expecting us to live a holy life. It does make a difference of how we treat our bodies. Paul warns us that our bodies are the temple of God. In verse 18, he tells us not to be prideful, but to walk in humility. Now he's writing to a church who was blessed with many gifts. They had a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in their various gifts. But yet here we find that they are divided and quarreling. And their problem was not because they were impoverished or that they were weak or lowly. Their problem was in their boasting in men rather than in the Lord. And Paul says here that the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. A carnal Christian is a sad situation. They're not happy living for God, and they're not happy living for the devil in the world. They're holding on to the world a little bit, and they're wanting to have God. And some believers are walking this way by choice, but there are others who do not know any better. They've not been taught. But we know that if someone is thirsting after the Lord and is seeking Him, that person will want God and His ways, and he won't want anything of the world. But you have to receive the light of the Spirit in order to know what God wants. In Romans 8 and 9, he says, "You're not controlled by your sinful nature." He's talking to the believer. "You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you." And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. But Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, The Spirit gives you life because you've been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by that same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you'll die. But if you, through the power of the Spirit, put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live, Paul tells us. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. And now we call Him Abba, Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we're His children, we're His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share His suffering. He's talking about rewards there, that we will share in the glory that Jesus shares in. We will receive what Jesus receives. That's why it's important that we take heed to our lives and build upon that foundation. We're building for the kingdom of God, so therefore we can't be entangled with all the worldly things or the carnality that hinders the gospel. This is the foundation that the Lord wants us to build upon love one for another, and to love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Those who have the foundation of Christ must work while it's day, for the night is quickly approaching when no man can work. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, we want to be about your business, for we know, Father, that the time is short, and we want to serve you, and we want to make a difference, Lord. We want to point people to you, for you have the words of life. We pray, Father, give us the strength to obey you and the wisdom that is godly and that believes in you and is humble towards you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word.
Lady.